Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
I'm going to continually be reading at least two prophetic words to you. Don't get tired of hearing them. Grab a hold of them. Every time you hear them, ask the Lord to put them deeper into your heart. Because it's so key right now, so key. So these are two words. Brian Schwartz, this is going back, I believe, to 2017. He said this. He said, "What's going to mark this house is actually not going to be just great exploits. It's going to be unity that comes upon a people." Did you get that? Unity that comes upon a people. A unity that God restores in such a mighty way. Such a good word. Did you grab a hold of it? Because what I like about it is it's not just going to be the great exploits. So that's like two great confirmations in a row. It's going to be like great exploits and great unity. Amen? Jordan from Bethel, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, he said, "I saw the word revival over you guys. Not just a revival of signs, wonders, and miracles, but of family. I see a family revival where actually this revival is birthed out of family, out of connection, out of unity. And I feel like you guys are going to see the greatest sense of unity in this area than you have seen in a while." That's a good word. Yeah, we receive that word. You know, you have to be active with the words that you get, right? And I'll tell you, I'll be the first to admit, sometimes I don't even... let me say it this way. Sometimes you could not grab a hold of a word and you should be, but I also believe that sometimes words are spoken like these two words that come out in a season. You know, like that scripture verse when you're reading and you've read that scripture 1,000 times and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh my gosh, I didn't even see that." That's like this word. I've read these words before and it's great, you know, because sometimes we're looking or the Lord just doesn't highlight it. And when he highlighted those two, I'm like, yes. Because church, this is a season in our world where we're seeing a lack of unity. And it doesn't matter what you pick, it seems like division has been released over the world, right? From, you know, ethnicity to, you know, strategies to, like, it's crazy. And it's difficult. And it's worldwide. It's not just a church or a family. It is a worldwide issue. So I believe God's like, "Well, I've got an answer for that. It's called unity." Now, I'm going to tell you how to do it perfectly. No, I'm not. But we're going to begin a journey to go, "Lord, how does your unity, where does it come from? What does it look like? And how do we get it?" Amen? Amen. So the what today is unity. So turn to your Bibles. A great scripture we're going to look at, Psalm 133. We're going to start there. I know it sounds like I'm tooting my own horn when I say this, but wasn't worship wonderful? It's just so good to worship together. You know, I think there's different moments that you feel or different things that you feel. And I love being alone and putting worship music on. There's something that I receive in that moment. You know, I love, you know, being in the car and putting worship music on and, you know, being in that with my family. But there's something about corporate worship that God's designed. And but you could just feel like this hope. It's like hope was a weapon today. Amen? You guys can still say amen, all right? That's a good thing. All right, Psalm 133. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is." Now, it's funny because that word "behold," we could easily read over these scriptures, but that word "behold" is like, "Hey, look, take notice." You know, when somebody goes... you know, if they're unveiling a bridge that's just been built, like, "Behold the structure that I've built." It's this word that tries to get, you want to get people's attention. It's not just, hey, I'm going to read a scripture. It's like, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is." I'm going to read the whole thing, then we'll talk about it. "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Like, that's just beautiful, isn't it? Poetic, beautiful. But there's a lot in that scripture. We're going to take a look at it. So it says, behold, you know, watch, look. And then it says this, how good and how pleasant it is. I did a lot of research last night trying to understand this scripture verse because, of course, you know, this is a, there's a lot of Jewish understanding. But one of the things that it's very rare when he says how good and how pleasant, those are two things that often you can't get in combination. Let me give you an example. I make health shakes often. And, you know, the more healthy things you throw into a health shake, it is good for you. It is not always pleasant, right? You know, when people say, this is a green, it's good for you, and you take it and you're like, I've drank everything from, what was Connie, that thing, the green, barley greens, you know, and I got used to it, and I'd be like, this is so good for you, you got to try it. I remember people trying, and they'd be like, oh my gosh, they're going to throw up. I remember driving with Pastor Rod when I was going through my very serious, I had to really restore my gut, and so I was gluten-free, and it felt like I was everything-free, like sugar-free, taste-free. But you do get used to these things. And I remember I got used to these brownies, and I'm sharing it with Pastor Rod. I'm like, oh, these are so good. Krista's made them. And I could see his face. He's like, you know, I'm like, spit it out. It's okay. It's okay. I forgot, you know. Because sometimes things are good for you. Now, the other reality is we could have pleasant things, right? But how many know that pleasant things, there are sins that feel pleasant that are not good for you, right? You tracking with me? So sometimes it's actually really hard to get good and pleasant. Like, that's a real craft when you can make a health shake that is good and pleasant. You can try any of ours and we'll let you know. You can tell us if it's good and pleasant. So you got good and pleasant. It is for brethren, now we're talking about, really the term is actually family. And then it says, to dwell together in unity. Now, so let's look at that for a second. How many love your extended family? You love them. How many love to dwell with them for a long period of time? Well, there's so, people are like, I want to be Christian, but I'm not sure if I want to raise my hand. Right? You know, it's like you love these people. We just, our family, minus Krista, we do this. We try to do this every year. The brothers take the kids and we go camping. Sometimes it's the Pinery and that feels like the Hilton. And then sometimes it's not the Pinery. Right, guys? And so a couple weeks ago, we went up and it was not the Hilton. It was find a spot in the bush, carve it out. There's no amenities, no toilets, no running water, only you, nature, and poison ivy. We thought we escaped it, but Megan and I did not escape the poison ivy. And, you know, we do look forward to it. But I'll tell you, when you get that many young people and brothers together, it's an interesting experience. Because we all live very different lives. And I can't go into details, but my brother is a northerner. Let's just say it this way. He lives in the north. He lives with very minimal. He just is a northern guy through and through. And so, you know, it's great. You get there, you're so excited, and you hug, and you know, you set up tents. But by the third day, you're trying to find a place of love and unity. You know, we were all cooking out of this little teeny area. Oh, and then to make matters worse or funny, just depends on your view, the third day we had this torrential downpour. And so then you take all these people that had space to spread out and you put them under one tarp, trying to cook food and stay warm. And I understand when I think like that how good and pleasant it is. It's like it's hard, difficult, but if you can achieve it, it's beautiful. But it's not easy. And what he's referring to here is they would often gather for festivals. They would come to these festivals from all over, and they would have to dwell together. And let's be honest. When family comes around, it's wonderful. It's good, right? We got check mark. It's good that family came to town. Pleasant? Still working on that one. And so we want it to be good and pleasant. Amen to that? And then he starts describing it. Let me read this for a second out of the New King James, or the Passion Translation. It says, how truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. The reason they say sweet unity is because he's about to describe the sweetness of an anointing oil. It says, it is as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron. And I added this, because it is rare. It's describing the anointing oil that's actually a rare oil for the high priest. Now, the beautiful thing about it, it's a sweet aroma. And I learned as I was doing research, often when you came into a house, it wasn't the same anointing oil, because he was referring to the high priest anointing oil. But when they would come into a house, they would actually, it was a gesture. You know, customs are so different right now. Can you imagine this custom? For all those that have beards and long hair, they'd come in and they'd pour oil and they'd rub it on your head and down your beard. It's called, in our day, it's called cologne and antiperspirant. It was a thing to help with the beauty of smells. You understand where I'm going? So it was like a gesture of courtesy to say, hey, you've had a long journey. You know, it's not like they had showers to run to. So they would pour this beautiful fragrant oil down. And it would make you smell beautiful. Like it would help the aroma. Let's put it that way. Now, the beautiful thing is it says the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron. And I put it was rare, holy, and costly. Did you know that unity is rare, holy, and costly? Dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. I believe it's saying it that way is because we just don't want a taste of unity, right? If we're going to carry unity, we don't want just a little bit of unity. We don't want just like a little bit of unity that touches a bit of our, you know, our neck and around our collar. We want it to flow all the way down to the hem of our garments. Amen? So to me, that means like unity that would flow to the outer edges of every part of the people that are a part of us. And then we would like it to be, Lord willing, a unity that flows to every part of the body of Christ. Now, how many know a unity like that is rare, holy, and costly? That's why, have you heard the story? Have you heard the story of the man that was shipwrecked on an island? Just himself. And luckily and thankfully, he was able to be rescued. And when they were coming and they saw this, they rescued him because they could see fires going. And when they pulled up, they saw that he'd been there so long, he built structures. It was incredible. So they wanted to see everything that he'd built. So he took them for a tour and he said, you know, this is my house. And he showed them the house. And they're like, that's amazing. And then he took them to his church. You know, here's a man shipwrecked on an island and he built a church. And he showed them the church. And then they saw another building. They said, what's that church? Or what's that? He said, oh, that's the church I used to go to. It's a joke. If you're on an island by yourself and you split, you're in trouble. I say that unity is rare, holy, and costly because we've seen, right, the body of Christ does have different denominations. Now, I'm thankful that I'm learning that when we can begin to find a place of honor for what they carry, it's beautiful. You know that there are some churches and denominations we should be going, man, they do that so well. We need to figure that one out. We need to glean from them. Come on, amen? Amen. Sometimes we think that we've figured it all out. No, we haven't. Man, I know people that we could disagree on a lot of things, but there are some things that I so desperately need what they have. That's why I think it's beautiful when you can listen. You know, I have to give honor where honor's due because Bethel has found a place of matureness where they bring people in where they could disagree on a lot, but they bring them in for what they agree on, that thing that they carry. And it's beautiful. And I remember, man, it could stir things up when you do that because people, if you don't understand, you're like, why are you bringing this person in? They're like, because what that one thing is that he shared, we so desperately need that. That's beautiful. So dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony, I love how this is again the Passion Translation. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew It's not Drew. We love Drew, but it's not about Drew. The dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon, I don't fully understand. I didn't do enough research on it, but the little I did, I understand that Mount Hermon, the dew literally made it. It was so heavy upon this mountain, it was like the Garden of Eden. It watered it every day and night. When they would wake up, they say, and this is somebody that went, I don't know where that mountain is now, but they said literally it's still like that heavy dew that soaks a tent. And it's trying to describe, these are all words trying to describe what this unity looks like. Because then he goes on to say, like dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. All trying to use these words to describe like this unity that if you can come into this holy, rare, costly unity, like the oil of Aaron, it's like the dew that literally refreshes the ground upon it. It's so rich, it's going to refresh everything around it. Isn't that beautiful? So I tie in these prophetic words that we have about unity. I'm going to go back up at some point. I'll try to give you an answer to this. But I don't know how many words we have, and you would have some, and I have some, that this would be a place where people would come into to be healed and refreshed and restored. Especially, it says in a lot of my words, leaders, ministers, that would come for a season to be restored and built up. Now, how many could see that some of the ingredients that we're talking about here would be a really good ingredient to restore people? If it's like the dew that runs down and refreshes the land and it's so rich with water, it's going to refresh the land. How many know that if we're going to have people that have come in that are burnt, dried up, maybe they've had a falling out. Maybe they've had a breakdown. Maybe they've fallen into sin. How many know that that dew, that anointing would be so beautiful to restore these people? And how beautiful that it would come from a people that could look upon them. And we've been talking about this for a long time, digging the gold out of people, right? Looking beyond the man and going after the spirit that we could go, I know, you know, I think literally one day people are to go, how could you receive me? Like, don't you know what I've done? Yeah, but we see who you are, who you really are. We see who you're really becoming. We see your real identity. You're looking at who you think you are. We see who you are. And we're loving who you're, we're loving, I like people say this, we're loving the hell out of you. You know, the physical hell out of you, right? The hell that's tormented you. We're loving you and getting rid of all that. And that's why I believe this unity sees beyond all that. But it's also the glue that keeps us together. Amen? So it's dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from the realm, you got to catch this. Okay, so I said, remember I said the what is unity? I'm gonna give you the why. So we're going after unity. Amen, church? Amen. Why? Why go after unity? Look at this. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forevermore. It says it like this in the New King James, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Did you know that when we walk together in unity, there's a commanded blessing that goes with it? I had a yes from the back corner. When we walk together and find that place of unity, there's a commanded blessing. There's a blessing that the Lord says, oh, I've been waiting for that. I'm going to bless you. I've literally stored up a blessing for you when you find that place of unity. Isn't that glorious? That's the why. Now, I don't know about you. There is something fun about being a bless other people. When you have more than enough and you can give somebody a blessing, or even more rare and costly is to give somebody what you have that you need, but you give it away. That's like a whole nother level, isn't it? Let's just be real. That's a whole nother level. It's one thing to give away a car when you have an extra one. It's another thing to give away your car. But I'll tell you, the blessing that you can have when you give something, I know it can be so difficult, but like Chris and I had a chance to do that, and I don't want to toot our own horn because honestly, our van was getting old, and you guys remember that, those that have been here for a while, we had that beautiful offering that Greg DeVries brought the youth to. Man, that was something. I've never seen anything like that. Greg got up and basically he said, this is an everything offering. And so, Sean, you remember it, right? We, like, still, as youth leaders and youth, we talk about this because without telling the kids, it wasn't like we started to tell the kids what they needed to do. I think we did 2 hours at least where kids walked up and put things on the altar. Like, things that, like, okay, this to a young person means a lot, doesn't it? Young people? Does this mean a lot of phone? That's my son. I'm like, hey, son, does this mean a lot? And flipping through, yeah. When you see young people that take a cell phone, a tablet, things that they mean so much, and they walked it up and they put it on the altar. The crazy, amazing thing is they would sit there and then they would be convicted again. And they would go, they say, can I, you know, pastor, whoever their youth pastor was, can I go to the bus? I got to get something. These kids were taking pillows, blankets, clothing, shoes, jewelry, and they were laying it on the altar. Like, we had so much stuff that we were able to get. Diamond rings. And it's funny, I remember this because I was trying to figure out, you know, I felt like the Lord said, give your Bible. And I'm like struggling. I'm like, this is my Bible. Which is amazing because I ended up getting it back. It's still this Bible. It's funny how you could give and the Lord gives back. I remember giving it, but I was struggling to give it. And then I walked up to Krista and I said, I'm really struggling to give this Bible. She says, yeah, I think we're supposed to give our van. What? And again, it was getting old, but it's still when it's your vehicle, right? And we had plans to go and buy one, but it's still weird when you're not ready to do it and then somebody says to go give it. You're like, oh, that's my vehicle. And in the back of your head, you're kind of thinking that's trade-in, blah, blah, blah. So I remember that day we walked up and I laid my Bible and we laid our keys. And that was an amazing moment, but I remember the elders just said, you know, we can't take a vehicle like that because you had all the paperwork. Just find somebody to bless. And I remember that moment when we were able to bless somebody. That feeling, that commanded blessing that you get to bless somebody with is like none other. Must be from the East. None other. There's nothing like it. And that blessing. And then it's amazing how God turned around and blessed us out of that whole situation. God's into blessing, isn't he? That commanded blessing. Amen, amen, amen. Turn to Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4. Church, I believe we're headed into an hour. Because of our yes to going after unity, he's going to actually give us revelation of how to go after unity. Because a lot of times we go after unity, which means everybody has to agree. How many know that's impossible? You cannot get everybody. If you only get people to agree, honestly, that's why we end up with separate everything. You know, I'm amazed at banks, the Second National Bank. You know, which one was it? Well, they were part of the Fifth, and then it was the First that split from the Second, you know, and you just don't understand because everybody's like, well, I'm right, you're wrong, therefore we figure this out. And that will never change. If we go after that kind of unity, you'll never find it. You know, it's like, you go into a house, I've joked around about this, you know, somebody's a dog lover. And then somebody's like, how can you like dogs? You know, it's all about cats. And then I'm like, it's about neither. It's not about animals. It's not about birds. You know, and then you know, somebody loves dogs and loves animals. And then somebody loves to hunt. And all the hunters talk about hunting. And all those that hate hunting are like, how could you kill something? Right? So you'll never find, it's great when you can find common ground, but if we only try to unite over common ground, we'll always divide. So I believe the Lord, by saying yes to this, the Lord will say, now let me teach you what unity looks like. Now Ephesians 4 says this. I'm going to go after Ephesians 4:13. Actually, two scriptures. I want to start at verse 3. Let's just start at verse 1. Make life easy. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. With all, now I want you to look, this is, you know, I'm not really going into the how right now, but just kind of start attuning your ears to these words. With all lowliness or humbleness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. How many have ever, now don't look to anybody, I'm not looking, you know, but how many have ever had to have a relationship? Like, what you don't want to do with this question is look at somebody when you raise your hand. That you've had to walk out long suffering with someone. Just keep your eyes focused and raise your hand. Because that's part of it, isn't it? Long suffering. Yeah, my mom and dad, see, they're like, see, told you, no. Did you know that this week they were married 53 years? Come on, can we just give that a clap? What's that? Yeah, dad got married when he's Teddy said, but I'd like to tell you how I've learned how to walk in long suffering. So here, let me give you a great example of commanded blessing. Pastor Gary, where were you when you told them you were married that for a long time? And who were you with? That was at Pastor Kathy LLE. And who were you with? Was that with Pastor Rod? Okay, so here's a perfect example. I wasn't thinking of this, but Pastor Gary and Pastor Rod went to minister at... they're showing me their phones. I'm trying to understand why. On my shirt. Oh, I have to tuck it in. Is that better? Signals from your kids. I'll find out later on. They went to the well. And when they were there, it's a fairly new church, right? Now I'm self-conscious. I'm like, I'm going to sit back here. They went to the well. And I don't know how long, I would say probably a lot of their church was 30 years and younger. And somehow you were sharing. And when they shared that they had been married at the time, maybe it was your 50th. I don't know how long ago that was. It was amazing that they said, can we ask you to pray for us? Because we don't even see that. There's nobody even in this church that's been married that long. Why? Because that's called unity in the place of marriage, and it had a commanded blessing that went with it. So because of that unity, they had the blessing to be able to impart the blessing. And so sometimes we think, all these generations, they don't even want to get married. No, that was a sign of a generation going, oh my gosh, please help, help. Give us a blessing. Give us strategies. Help. And when you walk in that commanded blessing, you could give the commanded blessing. How many have been married 25 years or more? Raise your hand. You know, in this church, that there's a blessing that we carry because of that? 30 years or more. 40 years or more. 50 years or more. Like, raise their hand. Look at that. Come on, we just bless you guys. Keep your hands up for a second. You know, church, if you struggle ever with your marriage, you don't even have to get counseling. You just need to go and say, hey, can you just pray for me a blessing? Because you guys carry a blessing on your marriage. I need a blessing on that. Like, that would be wisdom. We talked about supernatural wisdom, heavenly wisdom. You guys following me? That's the type of wisdom you want to go after, where you go, oh, they carry a blessing. I need that blessing. Amen. It says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Now, this is what I wanted to share with you, one of them. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know that word, endeavor? It means to attempt, to try, but it literally means strenuous effort. Isn't that interesting? Endeavoring. You know, a lot of times we're like, man, it's just grace. And we preach that. We believe in that. It's just grace. But here you have something that says, go after endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's be honest. When you are with family and it's difficult, and you're endeavoring to keep the unity, does it not feel like strenuous effort at times? Biting your tongue? You know, just, I'm not going to respond. Pastor Rod and I often talk, Danny Silk's line is, relationship over right. Yep. You know, a lot of times we want to be right. And when we're right, we sever our relationships. But if we can learn to honor relationship over being right, you know, a lot of times, so when you have family around, you have to like, I'm zipping it because I want to tell them I'm right and they're wrong. So it literally means to endeavor, to go strenuously, to that effort to go after it. And so I'm like, Lord, let's go after it. And it'll take some endeavoring, but it's worth it. Amen. Ephesians 4, verse 13. This is what we talked about, the equipping of the saints. This is why. Till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith. It just said before, it was the unity of the Spirit. As we go on this journey over the next, you know, it's not like a series. I'm saying we're going to go after this. So it's going to be like, we're going to talk about it and we're going to run in it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to run in it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to run in it because it's going to be a learning experience. But I believe going after it, like I said, the Lord will begin to show us through a revelation at how to walk it out. The point I'm trying to make is the Lord wants us to walk in unity. The words were given, I believe, for such an hour as this, when unity is being literally destroyed. I was going to go to Nehemiah. I don't have time. Nehemiah, the one thing I want to share, if you remember in Nehemiah, he got to Jerusalem and he says that for 3 days he walked around to see what kind of shape it was in. I'll probably go there next week. But I want you to know, more than 3 days I've been walking around calling pastors that I know. You need to know this is not a small thing. Pastors that I highly respect, that I see as pillars, are exhausted. And I know, I'm calling people in my business. You understand? This is my work. So for you, you know, Judy, you were a nurse. You would be talking to nurses and doctors, right? It's your line. This is what I'm not saying it's just about this, but you need to know people are exhausted. And I'm sure some of you feel that. It's exhausting. The season is exhausting. They're calling it COVID fatigue. Call it whatever you want. It's exhausting. But what I'm also hearing, I talked to a couple that are, they oversee a large part of the Midwest for inner healing. And they're talking about churches and people that are, you know, churches literally that are crumbling. Their own church is in a desperate state right now. And pastor after I passed to, pastor that I talked to from California in Ontario to Alabama, there's disunity that's trying to wreak havoc on everything. It doesn't matter what you look at, and I believe it's going to be happening in businesses. It's like a spirit that has been released, right? It's not just people being bad, because I don't think people, Christians, are trying to be bad. It's just there's disunity that's being released among the body, among people, among the world. And so I believe the weapon of our warfare is, oh yeah? Well, we're going to go after the strongest unity we've ever had in our lifetime, because we have prophetic words that say we'll get there. Well, so why? We don't want to go after when it's easy. Come on, Antioch. We do things when it's tough. Amen. I was looking for an amen on that one. We're going to take communion. I want to go to one more scripture. If you're at home, I encourage you, if you've not got communion, actually, if you're watching from home or at any point and you've been tracking with us, even if it's now, in time with us, real time, or later on, I encourage you to take communion. Turn to 1 Corinthians. I went to bed last night because I know that it's not that I have the answers of the how, because that's just complicated. But I went to bed last night and I felt like the Lord was sharing, well, he shared one really strong thing. Because I said, Lord, how do we get here? And he said this, you'll never get there unless you start with covenant. And I'm not talking about just covenanting with each other, because that's another topic. We had a great refuel on covenant, but he said, it'll never start without first my covenant. If you look at 1 Corinthians 11, so get your, we're going to do communion. I'm going to ask you really specific. If you notice with these, you peel off the top, and we've never done these, different churches have. They were back ordered because everybody was going this route. I encourage you not to peel off the entire thing. So that way that you can kind of fold it back up. And then we're going to close. We'll pray and close. But then we'll take it right out. And if we can grab one of the baskets, I don't know where those baskets we used to use with communion cups, you're going to put it out there into the basket. So please don't even put it down. This purple will stain. Although it's really great that we have purple furniture. You know, we're a step ahead, but we still don't want it to. 1 Corinthians 11. In my Bible, it actually says conduct at the Lord's Supper. This is the heading. Of course, when Paul was writing letters, he didn't write headings because they were a letter. But we've now come to understand that there's some conduct at the Lord's Supper. And it's interesting that he starts talking. Verse 17 is where we'll start. It says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. So Paul's writing this letter because he has to correct the church in Corinth. And this is what he goes into. He says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. Interesting how he says that, eh? And in part. That's something to think about. Why? Because we live in a day where we're hearing a lot of news, right? And I don't know about you, but it's hard sometimes to go online and go, I don't know, is this, you know, good news, bad news, right news? He says, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Interesting, as he goes down, he then goes into the Lord's Supper. He goes into remembering, and we're going to do this. But he starts with, hey, we're going to take communion, and I hear that there's divisions and factions. What he's basically saying is, you can't take communion and be in division and in factions, because that's not unity. But then he's going to go, but you get unity, basically, by remembering what I did. And as we take communion today, it's like, Lord, we're heading into a season where we are committing to go after unity. But we're also realizing that it's going to, like, we don't have all the answers right now. But Lord, I thank you that we're committed to not have factions among us, but we're committed to go after it. Amen? Anybody committed to go after unity? In all my years of marriage preparation for weddings, I've done a lot of weddings. Only once I actually had somebody in premarital counseling that talked about divorce already on the table. Can you imagine that? Going into something already knowing that you could divide. I go into it going, oh no, I'm going after, like, until death do us part. Like, I'm endeavoring. Sometimes it could be strenuous, but it's like, no, we're going after this. It's not an option. And I know that's hard, but we say it's not an option. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, there's some really cool keys here, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks. You know, sometimes we forget that he already knew what was about to happen, but gave thanks anyway. Sometimes in my down days, I'm like, Lord, how could this be happening? You know, this is so difficult. And then he kind of reminds me of what he went through. Like everybody leaving him. You know, how often did he, like, invite people? Actually, at one point, he starts talking about the body and blood and people take off. Like, he had people leaving him all the time. But that's not what he wanted, but that's what was happening. And now he says, hey, I did it on the cross because you guys can't do it on your own. So when you come into my covenant, I'm going to give you the grace to do it. Amen? You guys tracking? And when he had given thanks. So let's just stop. Father, we give thanks. We give thanks for you. Because Lord, you purchased it all. You purchased our unity and you purchased our debts. Father God, I thank you. When you were on the cross, you were endeavoring for the sake of unity. Like, if we're going to go after what's strenuous, like, I can't even imagine what you went through on the cross. Can't even fathom it. But we just stop and we say thank you. We sang about it. We sang from the grave. I'm trying to remember the other line. From the grave to the cross. The resurrection. Lord, we sang today that hope comes from resurrection. That unity comes from the covenant. And we just say thank you. We stop to give thanks and say thank you, Jesus, for the price that you paid. Thank you for all that you've done. Lord, there's testimonies in here of where people have lost jobs. People actually have gained jobs, better jobs. Like we could say thank you all day long. Even the hands that were raised of unity, of marriages for so long, we say thank you. Come on, we say thank you. And we're going to say, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, which is my body, which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. So if you haven't already, go ahead and just peel off that one top and let's take his body.
Lord, we thank you that you paid the price in full. You said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In John 17, Jesus prays about unity, that we all would be one, as the Father is one with the Son, and he's one with the Holy Spirit. There was no disunity or division in heaven until Satan rebelled. And when Jesus died on the cross, he restored the unity that once existed in the throne room. So Lord, today we recognize we desperately need an anointing to fall on our lives of unity. You said, do this in remembrance. Lord, you already did it. And this morning we appropriate, as we partake of the blood, we appropriate the unity you've already provided. Lord, then we need your grace to walk it out. So Lord, thank you for that precious gift of unity in our midst. And Lord, we thank you that 3 years ago you saw fit to prophesy into the future of this ministry. And that includes overseas ministries, Titian Ministries, downtown, Pastor Bonnie's church. It includes everything, that we will be a church that is a family that walks in unity. So Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Let's peel the little piece back and partake.
Amen. So Lord, we just say yes today. If that's you, I'm saying yes. I can't say yes for you. But I say yes to going after, endeavoring to go after unity. So I should be showing you that we don't put our little cups down. I said to hold on to it then. Because we're going to pray and then we're going to go and you can put it in the containers. But Lord, I say yes. And Lord, we acknowledge right now that really it's by the Spirit. That's why it says to go after the spirit of the faith, endeavor to go after unity of the Spirit, unity of faith. It is only by your Spirit. It is only by your Spirit. So we say, Holy Spirit, help us to walk it out. Holy Spirit, teach us. Lord, I pray that I'm excited. I'm actually excited that in this next season, we can have revelation of a whole new way to walk out unity. Anybody else excited about that? So Lord, teach us. Help us. Lord, I pray for strength for every person in here. Pray for strength that every person that's watching this. Lord, would you strengthen them? And right now, as we've worshiped together, there is a commanded blessing. And even as the father and the priest of the house, really, I say, Lord, bless. Lord, may your blessing fall upon every person here and every person watching. May your blessing, Lord, we say bless, bless, bless. Do radical things this week. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.